Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Motivate My Life Radio. I'm your girl, Teresa Murphy. I want to thank all of you guys for tuning in this evening. We have a really exciting show today. I am really excited about our guests, as I am always excited about our guests that are game changers, giving back to the community, business owners, entrepreneurs, and those folks that are building platforms to change other people's lives. So with that being said, before we get started, and introducing our guest today we have in the studio, I want to, of course, give you some of our weekly motivation. And I was about to say Monday, guys, because, you know, normally the show is aired on Monday, and I give you my Monday motivation. And so I just want to talk a little bit today about goal setting, right? Because I know a lot of you set goals and you write in your journals and you talk about all these things that you're going to do, and you make your list, your to-do list, and you realize when the end of the week hits here that you haven't done anything on the list. And so it's very important that when you are doing your to-do list, you are also doing your to-be list. And that's basically who is it that you are striving to be, along with what it is that you're trying to do. But don't try to overwhelm yourself with just doing so many, writing down so many goals and executing a plan at one time. I tell you all the time, you do one goal if you have to, one goal per week, but as long as you are doing something, right? Because a lot of times you write down all these things that you're going to do and you're totally busy doing absolutely nothing. So that is our motivation for the week. When you're writing down your goals, write down a timeline and actually hold yourself accountable. Give yourself some dates, right? So for example, you know, I hear a lot of folks say they want to lose weight. I hear a lot of people tell me they want to start their business. They want to leave their 9-to-5. And so some of the questions that I ask folks is, well, what day do you want to do that? And you'll be amazed at people not having a date, right? Because when you say, hey, I want to lose 10 pounds. Well, that's kind of, you're just leaving that open. How about I want to lose 10 pounds, you know, by May 30th? So you have to give yourself some timelines and some goals and some expectations to meet when you're writing these goals. And just don't write goals just because you want to be writing them and you're not following up with executing in action. Okay. So that is Teresa's motivation for the week. We are going to get started with our show because I'm super excited again. And so joining us today in the studio is business owner, entrepreneur, Ricky Hall, owns the 3B Beauty Law. And she just doesn't own 3B Beauty Law. She's actually has created a platform to help other women in the beauty industry build their businesses and perfect their craft, right? Because it's really important. So without further ado, I would like to say hello, Ms. Ricky.
Hello, Miss Murphy. How are you?
I am doing phenomenal. Firstly, I want to thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us tonight. I'm really excited. So, guys, Ricky, I'm trying to get us a timeline because we have a lot to cover in a short time frame. So, we have some email questions. Of course, I got to get through our interview, and then we have some email questions that I would like to get to. Unfortunately, we probably won't be able to get to some of our on-the-air questions, but we will see what happens, right? So we'll just
prepare.
Okay. So, Ricky, firstly, I want, all of my, the listeners out there today, and I want to thank the listeners, too, for tuning in. Tell us a little bit about, right now, who is Ricky Hall? Right now, today, who is Ricky Hall? And then we want to talk about how Ricky got from where, she was and to where she is today. So who is Ricky Hall today?
Today, Ricky Hall is a single mom trying to touch as many lives as possible before my time on this earth is up. I am a big sister. I am a friend. And I am a mentor and an instructor. I work in the beauty business, but it's more about enhancement than beauty because with the services that I provide and the services that I train on, these are services that are life-impacting, not necessarily beautification, but we assist people who have hair loss diseases, low self-esteem, just areas in their facial features that they need enhancement towards, whether it be loss of hair or accidents, scarring, just things of that nature. So it's more than beauty, it's just enhancement. That's who I am today. Now, tomorrow, tomorrow.
I clearly understand. Believe me, that varies from day to day. Well, thank you for sharing with us, Ricky. So, Ricky, we want to get deep about who you are, and that's what we do. So you let us know, pretty much, if it's something that you want to pass on, you let me know. But I like to get deep because it's really important that our listeners know and understand, how you can come from a painful place, a place of poverty, to a place of purpose. So we know that you weren't always in the position that you are currently in right now today, as a successful business owner. So Ricky, can you talk to me a little bit about, I know you mentioned you was a single parent, and can you talk to me a little bit about your life as a single parent? Like, how were you able to overcome being a single parent and, financially strapped for cash and then kind of turning your life into where it is today?
I think it started with my upbringing. My mother raised me up until I was a young teenager, and then after that, my grandmother raised me until I graduated high school. And living with my mother and my grandmother, I moved around a lot, so it wasn't the type of home where I was able to just learn how to do one thing. So being able to survive different environments, different people, teasing from kids, I think I got an armor that I built up. So when it was time for me to go out into the real world, I wasn't afraid to move around. I wasn't afraid to learn as much as possible because I was not college educated. I did not have the parental instructions that some of people that I know, some of my friends have, but I was determined to not allow that to make me a statistic. I do have, I did get in some failed relationships filled with abuse, emotional, physical. I've been homeless. I've been, I've gone through most things that you hear when people tell their stories of poverty or, of a struggle. I think the difference, and there are some people that are still in there, I think the difference between me and them is I wanted to get out. I had a child at 20, and I never said this on any interview that I've done, but I got to give you the real tea. My son's father, who I call my baby daddy, but my son's father is one of the major reasons that I got into entrepreneurship. He constantly reminded me that I didn't have a college degree. He constantly reminded me that I didn't have 401k and that, it's not normal for me to want to make my own ends. So I did have a lot of 9-to-5, but I also did things outside of work to build myself up and to make more income than a regular job could afford me. So I took that income from side hustles and, you know, businesses, selling clothes, shoes, things like that, and I saved that money and I reinvested it to myself. It takes a lot of discipline, and I didn't perfect it in my 20s, but I did get it right once I got into my 30s.
Okay, you know, and Ricky, I want to ask you a question because this is really important for the listeners today. What was that pivotal moment in your life where you decided that I no longer want to be, or I don't want to be, a statistic? Because we hear these stories all the time about individuals, generational curses. You know, people not finishing. I mean, folks that don't even complete high school. Family members, because your family have a history of not going to college. Your family have a history of not being successful. And then your family have a history of single parenting. So what was that pivotal moment for you when you decided that I'm going to change my life for the better?
I think it was a series of pivotal moments. You know, I think for me, like I said, I feel like I built this armor up, and each time something attacks that armor and I can feel a little hole, you know, being carved into it, I said, you know what, this isn't going to work. So it was a time, I remember one Christmas, because for a long time my son moved in with his father. He's back with me now, but at that time I remember there was a Christmas where the girl that he was dating had to put my name on a Christmas gift because I had no money. You know, I had enough for rent. I don't even think I had money to pay my light bill that month. I think my cousin Kiana paid it for me. So it was different things that happened, failed relationships, recognizing that, you know, I have talent, but how can these talents make me money? You know, going to work, feeling depressed, you know, it is still real in the workplace where women can, you know, they don't have the opportunities as men, and being aware of that put me in a depressed state. You know, being aware of or experiencing racism in the workplace, different moments of just where things weren't going the way that I felt they should be. And that will make you really focused. That will make you get off your butt. I think once I moved to Charlotte, North Carolina, I was initially homeless. And my auntie, who recently passed away, rest her soul, she took me in for a couple of days. And even at that time, I said, you know, this isn't me. You know, I've never not had a place to live. Like, I don't know what's going on. And she prayed over me, and she said, you know, it's time for you to start doing what you do best, and that's depend on you. Because I have always been a person that wants to help everybody, you know, help them so much to the point where I'm taken away from me. And so just, again, those different moments, different struggles that I would hit at least once a year or every couple years, you know, you just go through it. And when you realize that, when I realized that I can actually overcome, because I would, things will get better and better. I said, you know, I need to be disciplined in the things that I'm doing. The things that I did to get out of that struggle, I need to continue doing. And I need to do it on a consistent basis. And so that's what I did. I focused on my credit. I focused on my circle of friends, you know, staying to the ones that are true to me from the beginning. Now, I don't believe in the no new friends thing, but I am particular about the new friends and the new energy that I allow into my life. Because I did notice that there was a cycle of me pouring so much of me into people who didn't appreciate it, you know? So different pivotal moments, and just understanding that I had to stay disciplined.
And I totally agree with you, Ricky, on a lot of that. And we're going to get to that changing your circle shortly, because I don't think people realize how important it is when you grow, how important it is that everybody can't go with you and everybody's not meant to go with you. And so I distinctly remember a while ago where I used to say no new friends, and, you know, I'm going to drag and take everybody with me from the sandbox, my childhood. And you know, it took a while, you know, it takes a while for you to realize that those people not everybody can go with you, right? Because
right.
you want folks in your school that are inspiring for you and inspiring to you. And I think that's really a key as you grow and become a successful and get into a successful place as where you are today. Now, I wanted to touch on something else because I know you talked about the issues you may have had as a single parent with your child's dad and so forth. Because a lot of women, you know, right now that are tuned into the show, they are really probably interested in learning, like, you know, how did you even get help? Now, I know that you decided that you're going to leave and you're going to move to Charlotte and you did come here homeless. But like, where would someone right now get help from if they wanted to just be in a situation, they want to change their life, they change their financial status? What would you recommend for them to get started to get the help?
It just depends on what area they're looking to get help in. If it is in the area of financing, again, start with yourself and build mm-hmm. your credit, because without having credit, you are limiting yourself. You're going to be risking pretty much all of your own income for a dream that has not come to fruition yet. I think that, again, having a strong circle of friends, I can't tell you how many times my friends have been the encouragement that I need and to be able to make the life decisions that I've made. I think that your family, having a strong support system in your family is important. In terms of business, make sure you find an attorney or someone who has the knowledge of business that can assist you in getting registered and getting, you know, your bank accounts open and just doing the legwork to actually making it work. I do tell people to not rush into that kind of thing until they know for sure that whatever the idea or the vision that they have is going to be something worth working. Because you can spend a lot of money into registering something that you probably won't actually do. And that money could be going towards other things.
And so,
it just depends on the area.
And Ricky, you know, I wanted to touch on something that too that you said far as don't rush, right? Because
right.
you know that we do have a lot of entrepreneurs, right? Or a lot of folks that want to start a business, or a lot of people that are just all over the place. And so
right.
where did you obtain like your coaching, your knowledge? Because a lot of people right now are just stuck, and they are still stuck in a place of poverty. They are still stuck with the baby daddy that's no good, right? They
right.
are still a single parent, and they're going around in this circle, and they're stuck. So how did you get past, you know, outside of your friends, your family? How did you get the education to even move into a place of entrepreneurship and starting a business and learning how to, you know, get your finances in order and just getting over those obstacles and those challenges? Was there somewhere that you went in particular? Was there someone you went in particular? Did you get mentoring? Did you get coaching to be able to reach those places that you grew into?
Research. A lot of research.
Okay.
Prior to me entering the beauty industry, I did have two important mentors in my life, Arlinda Garrett and Al McLean, and they work in the music industry, but the things that I learned from them, I believe in any industry that you work, you can be successful following the same map. It's just a different product. And so I used the things that I learned from them and how they ran their businesses because I really never thought that I would work with women or in a service industry at all. I always felt like I would be, you know, in management and corporate America forever, doing training, working with a computer. I did not ever think that I would work in a service industry. So they were my mentors and they helped. But the research that I put in to find different companies, I've spent, I'm sure, $20,000 in training and certification over the past 3 years. Every year, and I said that I was not going to do any training and certification in 2018. I said that I was just going to use that year for vacation and relaxing, but I still ended up taking another training class. So I've had several certifications and trainings from Miami to London to Atlanta. constantly trying to learn and improve and be better, because I knew that my passion was in instructing and training, and I felt that I didn't want to be inadequate and charge people to learn something from me if I hadn't mastered it myself. You know, I tell my students, you know, you are taking a class with me now, but this is not the only investment that you should be making. You know, if you haven't drawn up a plan and have the understanding that you are going to have to spend more money to learn from other people, you are going to have to buy some books, you are going to have to listen to some podcasts, you're going to have to get that knowledge that you can't get in college if you want to be a successful entrepreneur.
And you know what, Ricky, I think that's one of the things right now that's going on today. I really believe that a lot of folks, they don't want to, if you don't invest in yourself, right, who do you think wants to invest in you, right? So if you don't invest in you to get the training, to get the certification, to get the knowledge, to do the research, I don't know why you expect people to pay you for your services or pay you for your information or your knowledge, and you are not totally there yourself. And I think we have a lot of that going on today, where a lot of individuals are trying to teach people things where they're not even successful at the situation or the whatever it is, they're not successful there themselves. So that's really important.
And I think that's in a large part due to social media. People have a way of making their social media accounts look like they have all the knowledge in the world, all the experience, but really they have a good graphic designer. You know, really, they have a lot of time. They have a lot of time to be on there and post 1,000 videos and things like that. But, you know, and it baffles me because I see people who may charge the exact same price or more, you know, for training certification classes that I do that they may have just learned 3 months ago. And they are expecting individuals to pay, you know. And then you say, well, what exactly are you paying for? Because you don't have any experience, you don't have any reviews, you don't have the know-how. And so, if something happens in my new business, can I call you? You know, can you be a mentor to me? Can you help me when things aren't going right? And so, I hope that people take more time when choosing individuals that they invest their money into to actually research in that person and seeing, you know, can this person actually help, you know, take me to the next level. A lot of people don't do that.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the biggest problems we have today. You know, far as individuals, I think from what I see being an entrepreneur, a lot of individuals say social media, first of all, has messed up the game, like totally messed up the game.
Yeah.
Because everybody on social media, you're going to see the highlights of basically everybody's life, and you don't hear of how they got to that place, right? So you know how some people, the ones that are really winning, you know how how they're winning, but you don't know what they went through to even get the win. And so I tell people, you know, Ricky, to be very careful, because I've actually, you know, given a lot of folks on social media opportunities business-wise for whatever service or product or whatever I may have needed, and I've gotten really disappointed. So you definitely have to be careful with everybody on social media being successful, and you have to do your research. You know, you know, we're going to get into a lot of the what exactly it is that you do at 3B Beauty Loft in a few minutes, but I really want to touch on this point, and I want the listeners to understand how important it is to understand that everyone on social media that looks successful, that they are not in a successful place. And as Ricky said, a lot of folks, they just got a certification 2 or 3 months ago, or they've had this business for 6 months, and now they all of a sudden, they're going to teach you a class, or, you know, they're going to train you and be in a leadership position. But leadership roles are earned, right?
Exactly.
And they're earned through knowledge and education and things of that nature. They're not given, you know, and it's unfortunate, but I tell you what, Ricky, when it was no social media, you know, I always tell folks, because I'm old school still a little bit. So, you know, with my team, with one of my other businesses, we still do, we don't even have a Facebook account, and we still do old school marketing, right? So, you know, and you know, that's what works for us. What can you tell folks before we get into your full profession of, you know, all the different things that you do at 3B Beauty Loft and your success story on that. What can you tell people right now that are in a broken state? Because, you know, some of the things that you went through, was those a cycle? Was that something you saw growing up? You know, what type of household did you grow up in? If you can just, you know, if you don't mind letting us know that, because I'm trying to just get the listeners to understand kind of how you can come from one place to another with work, with and overcome challenges and obstacles. So, like, far as you coming up, how was your childhood?
My childhood started off pretty fun. It wasn't until the crack epidemic hit in the 90s that things started getting a little challenging for my childhood, because unfortunately my mother was a victim to that. So being taken away from her and along with my siblings, and having to move in with my grandmother, who was already raising a couple of my cousins, it became kind of lonely. I did have my cousin who I grew up with in the same room as I, but, you know, we're completely different people. So I don't feel that I had someone, and I didn't have a big sister or someone who I could talk to about the struggles that I was facing. So I found myself befriending older women. Most of my friends were always older than me because I was constantly trying to learn how to be a lady, you know. My grandmother worked two jobs, so she would go to work at 6 o'clock in the morning, come home at 3 o'clock, go back to work her second job at 4 o'clock, and then come back at 12. So she wasn't, even though I'm sure she wanted to be there, but she was taking care of 4 or 5 kids, so she just couldn't be there. And so that was my childhood up until I graduated high school. I remember having to pay for my own prom dress. I remember having to pay for my own college application because I got a job. You know, I knew that in order to get some of the things I wanted, I would have to work. And I remember applying to one college, which was UNC Charlotte. And I said, if I don't get into college, I'm going into the military. I had taken the ASVAB. I had, I think that's what it's called. I scored, you know, decent enough on it to where I knew I could get in. But I really wanted to move away from the town that I grew up in. And not just because I didn't like the town, just to get away from the reality of me not having my mother, me never knowing my father, me, you know, being, you know, having to share everything and not being able to really hang out the way I wanted to with my friends. So I knew that I wanted to get out of there. So when I got accepted into college, I left. Now, unfortunately, college is not for people who don't have money. maybe your freshman year, because you can get grants, you know, and loans, but that's only going to last for so long. And so I immediately got bad credit. You know, it gave me 3 credit cards the first day I stepped on campus, and I used those for food and clothes and, you know, things that I knew my grandmother couldn't afford to keep me there. So eventually I dropped out and, got pregnant, you know, and, then it was a whole new struggle, which is, okay, I want a career, but I have a kid, so I'm going to take a job, you know, forget the career. I just need a job that's going to afford me a lifestyle where I can pay my rent and I can buy my son diapers and shoes and things like that. So that's what I did, but me being an entrepreneur, and I guess a little bit comes from my mom, because I remember her making her money without, you know, her 9-to-5 in terms of she did hair. And so I knew that that was still in me. So even though I was working a 9-to-5, I still did things on the side. You know, I still wanted to maximize my potential. That's pretty much where I ended up going from there, as far as building up my entrepreneur spirit and figuring things out as I lived.
Okay, and which is really important. And the reason why I wanted you to cover that, and I thought it was really important, because, you know, we hear people all the time, you know, that have excuses of why they didn't get ahead, why they didn't graduate college, or why they didn't start a business, or why they didn't get the career that they thought that they deserve. And, you know, basically with everything that you went through from being a single parent and not getting a college degree and not having money and being homeless, you know, you decided to change your life and create the life that you want. And I think that's really important that you know how you hear people all the time, Ricky, and they say, oh, well, you got to pray on it. You know, people say that all the time.
Right.
That's everybody's favorite saying. You go tell somebody, girl, I'm having a bad day, and they say, well, you just got to pray on it.
You got to pray on it, right.
And you know, I tell people all the time, you know, faith without work is dead. So you can pray, right? But if you don't do the work, you're not going to get a different result. And so you kind of walk around here and you're mad at God. Because you feel like, you know, I'm praying and he's not listening. He's not answering my prayer and things of that nature. But it's really important, guys, you know, if you're going to pray, okay, you're going to have to do the work. Because he will give you what you need. But you have to do the work. And so, you know, and so I think your story was really important because sometimes people will see you in the life that you live now and you're over there and you have this amazing loft, which definitely, guys, is absolutely fabulous. And sometimes you're welcome. And people will walk into your life and they just assume that you can't relate to what they have going on today in their lives because your life is so fabulous. You know what I mean? So they don't know your story.
Yeah. They don't know. They don't know. I think prayer will not bring about the physical changes that you need.
Ma'am.
Prayer will help you with your sanity because you can give it. Once you speak it out loud, you know, if you're a person that prays out loud, once you speak it out loud, things start to make a little bit more sense because you hear yourself and you're like, you know what? I'm praying for a vision. I'm praying for wisdom. I'm praying to be able to make better decisions. And then you sit there after you pray and you're like, you know what? Let me go ahead and write this list. Let me go ahead and make this plan. So it helps you keep your sanity so you're not going crazy because of all the struggles and the things that are happening. But you've got to put in the effort to get the impact. You know, you got to put in the work. I am constantly reminding the students that I'm able to touch the lives of my story in terms of how many hours I would work a day and a week. And no, it's not always great to be a workhorse, but if you are trying to build a business from the ground up, there's going to be a period where that is what it is. You know, you can't date the way you want. You can't hang out and party with your friends. And you are going to have to wake up at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning to be able to work, you know, your clients in and then go to your job and then work some more clients or work your clients in, go to school, go to work. You know, you're going to have to take on the task of doing multiple things. But I tell people to look at it like this. There are individuals who don't have the physical, the physical needs to be able to do things. Maybe they're blind. Maybe they were born that way. Maybe they have one arm. Maybe they have one. They just don't have the physical capacity to do certain things. And if you are blessed with that and you can, you know, breathe and you can read and write and walk and talk, those are gifts. That is not just because I'm a human. Those are gifts that, you know, because there are people born mute, you know, and would love a job in radio. You're talking about wanting to become a radio host, but yet you're sitting at home every day on your PlayStation, or you're going out partying at the bars every day when you should be at home writing. You should be at home practicing. You know, you have to be able to recognize what your gifts is and your talents are and then put in the work. And I think that anything is going to be given to you, not think that someone can just give you a lump sum of money and it's going to take off. No, you've got to be able to put in that work in that time.
And you have to put in the work for manifestation. You're going to have to put in the work. It is key to becoming successful. And then success looks differently for everybody. You know, sometimes success for some folks is money. Some people's success is family. You know, success just looks totally different for everyone. But, you know, more importantly, you have to do the work. And I tell people that all the time. I've had folks that I have coached in the past. I've had people that have went to counseling in the past, and they will come back and say, it didn't work. And then I would say to them, did you do any work? Right. Because I give you what you need. And so, and for you to be able to be successful, but you still have to do the work. And you're exactly right. A lot of people want things just handed to them, and they don't want to have to work for it. And so let's talk a little bit about 3D Beauty Law. So, which, guys, is, again, it's fabulous, and that is where I get my brows and lashes done as well. And so we'll get a chance to, at the end, for Ricky to talk a little bit about where she is and her website and her social media handles and so forth. But let's talk about how 3B Beauty Law came about.
3B Beauty Law came about from me experiencing what I felt like was being taken advantage of. I felt that when I wanted to rent a space to work, that I was being overcharged. And I said that, you know, I'm paying $1,200 to $1,500 a month for a small room. I can barely get any guests in. It's big enough for pretty much a sink and a table for me to take clients. So I said that my little brother used to play this video game, and on the video game there was this beautiful loft. It was like a card game, and they would park their cards in the loft. And I said, I want that to be my next place to work, and I want to bring in girls to be able to work there and not be forced to pay what I've been paying for the last couple of years in terms of being able to have a nice, comfortable workspace that I felt was worthy of all types of clientele. And so I planned to move out, and I planned to move into a space that looked like that was loft that I can put beds in and get girls. A female.
Where did the name come from? Where did the name come from?
The name came from Beyond Brows and Beauty. I was first certified on eyelash extensions, but I knew that I wanted to do more. When I first started doing eyelash extensions, I used to go on YouTube, and I wanted to add another service. So I said, well, people like brows too. So I was looking for brow extensions. There's a female in Atlanta who did brow extensions, and I said, you know, I want to add that service. Well, when I went on YouTube to look at this service, there was another service called microblading that popped up, and this was probably like 4 years ago. And I was like, wow, now this is amazing. And with these results, they last for years, whereas the brow extensions last for like a week. And I wanted something that I knew people wouldn't mind paying for if it gave them the results of months and years,
now,
you know?
Now, was there a time, and I just want to ask you this, was there a time where when you got started, you know, the services that you offer and the success that you have today, was there a time in your business where you had to change things?
Oh, absolutely. You have to change with the times. You know, you're going to change. One thing that's going to remain consistent if you want to grow is your flexibility and your customer service.
I don't mean to cut you off. What differentiates you from the next brow professional? Like, why would I come to Ricky to get my lashes and my brows done opposed to going down the street or across the street?
I would say a couple of things. The work, of course. I put in a lot of time and practice and effort to making sure that the work that I send my clients out with is the top of the line. My clients leave reviews, and I've had the same clients for years because they don't feel cheated. In the industry right now, a lot of people are turning away from lashes and brows because they feel like they've gotten bad work, but they've paid top dollar for it. So I wanted to make sure I don't rush my sessions. I am a perfectionist, and my clients understand that, and they appreciate that. My availability, I've noticed in meeting other colleagues and meeting people who've come into the industry and gone, they don't have the flexibility that clients need in terms of scheduling. With me, I've probably worked more holidays than I've been able to celebrate. I don't mind coming in. Like, I'm usually off on Fridays, but, of course, this Friday I'm taking three clients. I'm taking those clients because I had a training class on their usual workday. Now, some artists they need a break. They're going to say, you know what, I just can't take you. I'm just not going to work. I'll see you when I see you. Me, I feel guilty. I feel that I'm a part of your lifestyle. I signed up for it, so I'm going to take care of you. And I've had that mentality since the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And they appreciate it, and it shows because they won't go anywhere else. Even when they have tried to go other places because maybe I was sick or on vacation, they come back. And they say, you know, this person didn't treat me that way. They didn't give me an aftercare kit. They didn't communicate with me about how to take care of my lashes or my brows. They didn't seem to care, you know, if they fall out or if they – no, we're going to talk about this. I want to understand what's going on with your lifestyle so that you don't have to overpay. My prices have always been priced accordingly. I don't overprice, but I also don't undervalue myself.
Totally, because, you know, I know that you get customers and clients that tell you, well, it costs too much.
Yeah.
So how do you handle that? Like when someone tells you, well, I just can't afford your prices, because, you know, people have to understand you get what you pay for.
Right.
And I've messed up a lot on that, Ricky, trying to get a cheaper price for something and I got exactly what I paid for and you don't get the same result of service. So how do you handle that?
I learned to not take it personal. I learned to not take it personal, and I will say that I fixed a lot of work from people who did take that route initially. Thankfully, my business, I would definitely say 80% of my business is built on referrals. So because of that, the people that are coming to see me are not afraid of the price. They probably maybe have hesitated, but then they have the referral from one of my clients that say, listen, she's worth it. Look at me. You know, look at what I'm going through. I've had several clients that have gone a cheaper route and then had to come to me and spend more money. So I learned to not take it personal, and I just pray that they do the research and they see why I'm priced the way that I'm priced, and usually they do. A lot of clients that come to me, they say, you know, I've been watching your page for 2 years. I've been watching you for a year. I've been watching, you know, they're usually not fly by night. But for the people who are not in that position, I do offer specials maybe once or twice a year.
Okay.
Because I understand that, you know, sometimes it's just not, you know, you just can't handle it. And so I do, you know, I'm not a person who's afraid to offer a special. I don't do it often, but I do do it a couple times a year to get the new clientele.
Well, can you tell us, Ricky, what exactly is microblading?
So microblading is a semi-permanent technique where we use a small hand tool that has a series of microblades at the tip. We dip it in pigment, and we gently scratch the skin. And when you scratch the skin, you're depositing that pigment into the skin. Now, what sets different microblading artists apart from each other is their ability to mimic the hair. If you are able to microblade and it looks like hair versus it looking like makeup, then your value is going to be higher than someone who is not able to do that, because your artistry shows in your ability to make it look like real hair. A lot of people don't want others to know that they've had a service done. So if you can make it look so realistic that they can't tell that they've had something done, but they still have perfect brows, then you're considered a good microblading artist. Now, what I do is I train individuals on these techniques so that, and they are mimicking the way that I do it, but because they don't have the same amount of experience, they have lower prices. So people are able to come to 3B Beauty Loft and receive these services at a more affordable rate if they can't afford my rate, just with someone who's not as experienced in the business.
So you do have, so you have other brow professionals as well that work in your loft, and they're able to offer lower prices, but you're teaching it the Ricky Hall way. When you're doing your trainings, that's how you're teaching it. Now let's talk a little bit about the eyelash extensions, because I can tell you right now, when they came out with this microblading and this these eyelash extensions, you know, enhancing your eyes, and you wake up, you're just already cute and you don't have to do a lot of that was like one of the most amazing.
The best thing ever.
I mean, for me personally, you know, I've always had thin brows, and I've had brows, but they were always thin. So, I mean, and not having to get up every day and put this pencil on, but these eyelash extensions, they work miracles. So talk to me a little bit about, because some people, look, let's keep it 100, they mix up eyelash extensions, Ricky, with eyelash clusters.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
They are not the same.
Eyelash extensions should be applied one by one. There is a technique out called volume where you can apply multiple lashes, but those multiple lashes should be single lashes that you put together. If they come already glued together, usually it's a cluster. I would say classic eyelash extensions is more healthy. It's healthier for your natural hair because it's so lightweight that you can't tell you have it on, unless the person that has applied it has not been properly trained, and therefore you will feel the weight of them. You will feel the glue. You will burn. You will definitely know that you have on extensions. Again, what sets a good lash artist apart from another is their ability to make it weightless, their ability to make it to where it doesn't burn and it doesn't interfere with your eyesight. But, yeah, it's the best thing smoking. for my clients who have eyelash extensions, they're able to pay a rate and not have to return for more extensions for 3, 4, or 5 weeks. Others may have to go every week. You know, again, you have to do your research and find out these things before you invest your money.
And you really do. And guys, I'm just gonna mimic a little bit on that because, again, Ricky does my eyelash extensions now and currently. But prior to going to Ricky, of course, I won't call any names. But I was going to an individual and my eyelash extensions, and they were like falling off. I mean, every week I had to go and get a refill, and it actually kind of made me not want to get eyelash extensions, you know, anymore. And I think I had talked with Ricky for 3 or 4 months, and we went back and forth about, you know, when I was going to come in and experience the Ricky Hall eyelash. But I was so apprehensive because the individual that I was going to, and it wasn't that I didn't believe in what Ricky does, it's just I had spent so much money prior going to an individual, and the service that I got just wasn't satisfactory. So, you know, I decided, you know, I'm going to give Ricky a chance, and I'm glad that I did because she is absolutely amazing at this craft of what she does. And Ricky, I do want to ask you some other questions far as being a business owner that some people may be interested in knowing. I mean, what are some of the challenges you do? I know you run your loft and you do brows and you do your trainings and you do your eyelash extensions and things of that nature. And you also are building a platform to help change women's lives for the better. But what are some challenges as a business owner? Because as we know, business sometimes, you know, it goes up, it goes down, and, you know, you have good months, you have bad months. Like, how do you get past some of the obstacles in business, you know, when those things do arise?
The biggest challenge is time management. Oftentimes, I am down on myself for not managing my time wisely because you can become a workaholic because you're so focused on making sure the bills are paid on time and that you still have money left to eat the way you want and travel the way you want and buy the clothes you want and things like that. So it's a challenge managing your time so that you are still a mother and you're still a friend. I don't want to lose any friends because they've been my backbone. So I need to make sure I'm there for their birthday celebrations or their mom's celebrations or, you know, passings or, and especially my son, you know, he's a 16-year-old teenager that goes through the things that I guess teenagers are going through right now. So I have to remind myself that, hey, he just wants some time with you. He doesn't want any, well, he does always want something new, but outside, in addition to that, he wants to just sit there and watch a movie. He doesn't want to hear, oh, I just got off I'm tired, or I got to be prepared for this next class, or I got a client. You know, he's like, okay, can you be mom right now? And that's a challenge for me because I still want to be able to keep the lights on. And especially now that I've opened up 3D Beauty Loft, where I have people in here depending on me to make sure that they still have a comfortable place to bring their clients. So do I have enough bottled water? Do I have the cleaning products, the paper towels, the things that they need? You know, can I still run my household? And then relationships. You know, I still haven't mastered yet how to have a successful relationship with a partner as well as run a business. So it definitely has some challenges, and I am still learning how to overcome them. But I'm doing a good enough job to where each year I can see elevation. Each year I can see growth.
That is the key, guys. Each year you see
each
elevation.
Year. And that's to me success. If you can see elevation and growth in yourself, instead of you being the person every year you have the same complaints, then you're on your road to success.
Well, Ricky, what's your plan, if any, like far as 3B Beauty Loft is concerned? You know, are you offering any additional trainings, anything else that, you know, Ricky has her mind on that she wants to do business related?
Yes. So I just completed a 3-day training. I actually just completed the third day of it about 3 hours ago, and it was amazing. I love, like I said, introducing people to these services and being a part of their lives, because one thing about my training classes is this mentorship as well. So these girls, once they receive their training, they're stuck with me, you know, for life, hopefully. My plans moving forward, not to divulge too much, but being more into the retail atmosphere,
okay,
as far as lash and brow products, offering additional training classes, but offering them online, because I've learned that, you know, people send me messages from all these different states, and they're like, you know, when are you going to do a tour? When are you going to come here? Well, I have responsibilities to my clients and my students, and I'm just one person. So my goal is to train other individuals into becoming trainers as well, building a team of trainers to travel with, as well as offering multiple variety of classes online. For those who maybe are very just produce, I call, like, one of my students I had today, she did so well, it shocked me because it felt like she'd already been doing it. And there are some individuals like, I myself was like that. I didn't really struggle with lash extensions when I got started, which is why I was able to grow my business. After 6 months, I already had 100 clients because I just naturally had a talent. So for individuals like that, you know, they may not need to travel to Charlotte or see me in person. They may benefit from an online class and be able to take off and run. So I am trying to put in time to be able to build the best online program and not a fly-by-night, click this link, watch me talk, and then log out type of thing. So it's taking me a little while to get it off the ground, but I'm shooting for a summer release for some new classes that they can do online. So getting the retail, more classes, having more stylists work in the loft that are multi-talented. Right now, they either do lashes and waxing or waxing and brows, and just being able to have multi-talent so they can offer a plethora of services the way that I do is my next goal.
And, you know, Ricky, I want to say, at least, I know we can't do all of them, but I did want to take at least two of the questions, because normally before we have a show, I will email out a poll, and I will give individuals an opportunity to be able to ask any questions that they may have for the guests. And so we do have about, looks like 54 questions that we're not going to be able to answer, of course. but I would like to answer at least two of the questions I think that we have time for. And then, so the first question is from Gail. Gail lives in New Jersey, and she, Ricky, I would like to know, how do you get your brow salon off the ground. I have currently been doing brows in my home, and I would like to get a brick and mortar. How do you get it off the ground, and what is the cost, if any, for starting up a brow bar?
Well, you definitely want to get, if you are doing it from your home, then you are limiting yourself to brow waxing and brow tinting. You are not going to be able to get a tattoo permit if you would like to go into microblading or ombre brows or powder brows, things that require a tattoo permit. And those are more of the higher dollar services. So if you want to build your capital from your actual servicing that you're providing, then I would suggest going to a small suite. I worked in a suite for 2 years before I moved into my loft. Because with the suite, you don't have the cable and the lights and the internet. You don't have those additional bills. So that gives you a chance to put more money into training and certifications and just mastering your craft. Depending on where you're located, I'm not sure what rent and things like that are in your area, but usually for a suite, you can expect to pay anywhere between $150 to $300 a week.
Okay.
But that's a service that you can make. I mean, you can make that in a day if you get out of your home so that you can have a higher dollar service.
So basically, you would recommend that she definitely goes and step out and get a suite at least, and not fully like a salon, you know, or a loft such as you have, but at least start out with a suite. Okay, and get out of her home.
Another thing too, you know, there are a lot of spas and salons, especially med spas. I don't know what her certifications and brows are, because brows is a wide range. You can do threading, you can do accents. I'm not sure exactly what she's doing with brows, but you can go work in a salon or a spa because they're always looking for professional brow artists. So if you're not ready to be completely on your own, I think you are if you're doing it from your home. But if you want to go work with someone and pay them commission or rental, weekly rental, you can do that too. But I think because you're already alone, going to a suite will probably suit you best.
And then I also think, like, too, I feel like, you know, when you do things at home, it's just my personal opinion, you know, you have to limit, you know, who you allow to come to your home. That's your personal space.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So I definitely think you should limit that. And so really quickly too, Ricky, what do you feel about individuals that are doing a lot of the brow and the lash services and they don't have these certifications? Like, what's your thought on that? We do know a lot of people are doing brows and lashes.
I think that
they are not certified.
A certification or a license immediately. No, I'm kidding. I worked, just being honest, I worked from home for a year before I had a license and before I had a location. However, during that year, I obtained two certifications because I knew that I wanted to do things the right way. So it's different between someone working from home who learned how to do it on YouTube versus someone working from home who actually has put in money and invested into themselves to learn the right way, the healthy way, you know, sanitation guidelines and things of that nature. Because I started in the business in my 30s, I wanted to be strategic about making sure it was what I really wanted to do before I moved forward. So I didn't get my esthetician's license until after I knew that this was something that I was going to be doing forever or for at least long term.
Right.
So I'm all for that if that's a person's real plan. But I had a written 3-year plan. I had written down each step. I knew in 6 months I was going to increase my price from $100 to $125. I knew in 12 months I was going to increase my price from $125 to $195. Like, I wrote these things down. I knew that I was going to get this additional training for this. I researched and saw how much the training would be, so I said in 7 months I'm going to pay for that. You know, I planned it out so that I could put myself in a better position once I got out of my home. I also moved from a 2-bedroom apartment to a 3-bedroom townhome by myself so that I can have one of those rooms specific for business. I didn't want to be in a living room with the TV in the background. You know, I was one person in a 3-bedroom, so I had a waiting area and I had a procedure room.
Oh, okay.
It depends on how serious you're taking it. You know, if you're not taking it serious and you are working from home and you got your baby daddy frying chicken and kids running around and dogs, then no, stop it. Because you're not going to attract the clientele that you need to get out of there.
I have went to people's houses and got a service, honey, and their baby daddy was like crying.
Me too. And then the artist rushes your work because they're trying to get to the chicken plate, so you're not getting the best undivided attention. Not the most sanitary. I have to experience it before I could set parameters and boundaries for myself. I had to go through it and see what I didn't like and what I liked. And I knew that in order for me to – I remember I was working in corporate America, and there's a female that came up to me, and I had just learned how to do lashes. And the model that I used in my class, she was ecstatic about her lashes. And she said, hey, I want you to meet the girl who did my lashes. So she brought her to my desk, and she said, and tell her how much you charge. Tell her how much you charge. And I was like, and she had lashes on already. And I said, oh, how much you pay for your lashes? She was like, $200. I said, well, you need to come to me because I only charge $60. And in my mind, I thought that was a selling point. I thought she was just going to jump on it and just get on my book. She looked at me like disgusted, like, $60. Girl, would never. It's like, what do you work? I was like, I'm in my house. She was not having it. She would rather pay $200 at a real location than to come to my house for $60 because she felt she was going to get $60 job. So I knew right then and there. I was mortified. I sat at my desk and I was like, you know what? Let me get my skills up so I can raise my prices.
Because, and I'm telling you, people don't understand that, Ricky, but I tell people all the time. I have these discussions continuously. Just because as someone's offering a cheaper price doesn't mean you're going to get a better result. It's the same thing like with, you know, with your classes and these online classes, you know, because I'm, you know, I do a lot of online webinars. And, you know, if someone tells, you know, you can't afford it. So you don't, business owners out there, aspiring business owners, you don't create your prices based off of what people can afford. You create your prices based off of your value of what you can offer. And so, because I know, and one thing I do love about Ricky is that everybody's going to her website. So she doesn't have time to even negotiate any prices with you because you're going straight to her website. And I think that's really important, Ricky, that you do that, because if you don't set standards and boundaries, you know, you'll be on the phone with folks trying to negotiate with you about your prices, and that's you're negotiating with me about my value, and that's not negotiable. So, guys, I think it's really, really important if you set your prices that's what your prices need to be, and you base them off of the value and the service that you can actually offer. Now, you can't charge somebody $400 for something now and then get them a $70 job. Now, we can't do that.
Exactly.
You have to always know cheap is not always the best, and I think a lot of folks don't get it. Ricky, I did want to give you the opportunity to be able to tell folks where you are, how they can reach you, your social media handles, and exactly, you know, how they can make an appointment and things of that nature.
Yes, so I'm located at 310 Arlington Avenue, Law 337 in Charlotte, North Carolina. You can book an appointment at beyondbrowsandbeauty.com by clicking on the service that you would like. The services that we offer in our loft are microblading, permanent brows, permanent eyeliner, permanent lip pigmentation, the best Brazilian waxes you can get in the city for 15 minutes of your time, facial waxing, and training. You know, if you're interested in training, you'll also see a tab on the website that you can click on to send an inquiry to. We also have just introduced facials with one of the best estheticians I've ever met. All of her clients give her rave reviews. She understands the skin very well. So you can get that service here as well. My social media handle is at 3B underscore enhancement, as well as at 3B.beauty, B-E-A-U-T-Y. Feel free to send emails. You'll see the email and address on the website as well. Send direct messages, any type of way you need to communicate with me. The number to our loft is 980-207-4398. This is a place that you can come and get the services that you deserve at the value that you deserve. A lot of people don't value themselves, and that's why they settle for when I say settle for cheaper price, I don't want you to feel like if you go to someone who just learned, who has a cheap price, that you shouldn't work with them. You should. They're learning. But when you research and you meet someone who's been doing the same thing for a year and they're still charging $50, there's a reason for that. They're not using quality products, and they're not putting out quality work. And they're not in a position to raise their price. This is very tedious work. And when done properly, it takes time, and you want someone who is using the best products, the best glue, the best mink extensions, the best wax. You want that in your life because you don't want rashes. You don't want allergic reactions. You don't want the downfalls of going cheap for someone who is not caring about your well-being.
And I think, again, I always like to touch on things just in case, you know, that didn't register with someone, but that is very important.
Repeat that.
You know, sometimes things don't be registering with folks, Ricky. Because there's some people out here that are just determined that they are going to go the cheap route. Ricky, I definitely want to thank you today for, you know, joining us here in the studio, Motivate My Life Radio. You have been totally amazing. I really hope that you can come back and join us.
Okay,
really
people in the background.
Actually, Nipsey was very motivating. I know a lot of folks have heard, you know, say that I didn't even know who Nipsey Hussle was, but definitely, if you don't know who Nipsey Hussle is, you need to get out there and do some research on him. He definitely was an activist, and he was very motivating, so. Yeah, but again, I want to thank you for tuning in to Motivate My Life Radio. It has been a pleasure. Thank you, Ricky. And guys, go out there now.
Thank you. You did an amazing job. You got me to open up about stuff I've never ever said on an interview. Thank you so much for having me.
Totally. That's what we do here at Motivate My Life Radio. We take you out your comfort zone. So,
yes.
And, you know, and believe it or not, I'm sure you changed somebody's life tonight. So, we've had, right now, I'm still looking, but we got probably right now about, looks like 3,800 listeners tuned into the podcast. So you definitely have to tune somebody. But again, with that being said, I want to thank you for tuning in to Motivate My Life Radio. Guys, also remember to change your life. You have to change your priorities. And there is nothing more powerful than a changed mind. Thank you, Ricky. We appreciate you.
According to the way that I'm positioned in the biz, it look like I'm just gonna keep on getting rich. Know that Westside RSC's is us. LAPD on my dick, I'ma squeeze and bust. If a rap nigga dip, switch cheese and bust. All this rap money, nigga, look, I need too much. Money, loyalty, and love in the dream we trust. You'll be switching up the players on your team too much. Tiny.
Thank you guys again for tuning in to Motivate My Life Radio. I'm your girl, Teresa Murphy, and have a great rest of the week on purpose.